जया राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, जया राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, गोपी जन बिरीवारधारी, गोपी जन बिरीवारधारी, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, जमुना धीरा वनचारी, जमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, गोपी जन गिरिवर थारी, गोपी जन गिरिवर थारी, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरावनचारी, जमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद् श्रीलैसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय, रंजना श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, सामवेते भक्त वृंद की जय, जय निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। Srimad Bhagavatam translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 57, text 5 through 10. Is that written? Avam. Yeah. 5 through 10, okay. So we'll read text number 5, which is on the screen together. Evam bhinnamatis tabhyam. Evam bhinnamatis tabhyam. Evam bhinnamatis tabhyam. Satrachitam asattamaha. Satrachitam asattamaha. Satrachitam asattamaha. Shayanam avadhilopat. Shayanam avadhilopat. Sa papa kshina jivita. Sa papa kshina jivita. Sa papa kshina jivita. Evam bhinna matishtabhyam. Satrachitam asattamaha. Shayanam avatilobhad. Sapapa kshinachivitaha. Evam bhinnamatisthabhyam. Satrachitam asattamaha. Sayanam avadhilobhad. Sapapa kshina jivita. Ladies. thus, bhinna, affected, mati, whose mind, tabhyam, by the two of them, satrachitam, satrachit, asat tamaha, the most wicked, shayanam, sleeping, avadhit, killed, lopat, out of greed, saha, he, papa, sinful, kshina, diminished, jivita, whose lifespan. Translation: his mind thus influenced by their advice, wicked Shatadhanva murdered Satrajit in his sleep, simply out of greed. In this way, the sinful Shatadhanva shortened his own lifespan. Excuse me. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the word asattama indicates that Shatadhanva was basically evil-minded and a firm hater of Satrajit. So we read text 6 through 10, according to what I was told. Text 6, Srinam Tumakshakha Kshanantinam Anatavat Hatva Pashun Shaunikavan Manim Adaya Jakmivan. Translation: as the women of Satrajit's palace screamed and helplessly wept, Satchadhanva took the jewel and left, like a butcher after he has killed some animals. Text 7. Satyabhama cha pitaram hatam viksha shucharpita vyapala tata tateti hahata smiti muhyati. When Satyabhama saw her dead father, she was plunged into grief, lamenting, my father, oh, I am killed. She fell unconscious. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Satyabhama's anguished feelings and words at the death of her father were prompted by Lord Krishna's pastime potency, Lila Shakti, to prepare for the Lord's violent reaction against Shatadhanva. Text 8. Taila dronyam ritam prasya jagama jagadhashvayam krishnaya viditarthaya tapta chakyo bhiturvadham. Translation: Queen Satyabhama put her father's corpse in a large vat of oil and went to Hastinapura, where she sorrowfully told Lord Krishna, who was already aware of the situation, about her father's murder. Text 9. Tat akarnyeshvarau rajan anushritya nrilokatham aho na paramam kasham itya rakso jive patu. Translation: when Lord Krishna and Lord Balarama heard this news, O King, they exclaimed, alas, this is the greatest tragedy for us. Thus imitating the ways of human society, they lamented, their eyes brimming with tears. Text 10. Akatya bhagavam stasmat sabharya jachakraspuram shatadhanva namarebhe hantum hartum manim tata. The Supreme Lord returned to his capital with his wife and elder brother. After arriving in Dwaraka, he readied himself to kill Shatadhanva and retrieve the jewel from him. Oma jnana timirantasya jnana jana shalakaya chakshur unmritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanteham Sri Kuru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Kurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahakana Rakunatanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Ratha Krishna Padan Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Ratha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Rathe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trupyascha Kripa Sindhu Pya Evacha Paditanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langhayati Kirim Yat Kripatam Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam I'll read the first, the fifth verse again. Evam bhinna matisthabhyam satrachitam asattamaha sayanam avadhil lobhad sapapa kshina jivitaha. Translation. His mind thus influenced by their advice, wicked shatadhanva murdered satrachit in his sleep simply out of greed. In this way, the sinful shatadhanva shortened his own lifespan. So just to refresh our memory, so when you say his mind was thus influenced by their advice, so when these there means Akrura and Kritavarma, they had this meeting with Satatanva plotting to take the jewel back from Satrachit for Krishna. This is a very, I think in the beginning of the Krishna book, it's explained to be a very mysterious pastime. It's a very, it's very dramatic. You know, there's a lot of intrigue and there is a murder and Krishna takes a vengeance and there is a lot of blessing associated with hearing this pastime. What I wanted to focus what I want to make the theme of this class was this reference to Lila Shakti. Because Satyabhama and Krishna, they are both, you know, the internal potent, the Lord, Supreme Lord, and his internal potency. But they are manifesting these, you could call them mundane feelings, but I mean, they're not mundane, but apparently mundane feelings. As mentioned, referred to in this verse, Krishna, he is imitating the ways of human society. They lamented, their eyes brimming with tears. So Krishna and Satyabhama and Balaram, they appear to be imitating the base of human society by showing emotions at the the ghastly death of their father and father-in-law. So this is the pastimes, the principle of Krishna's pastime is this, that Krishna, he is sarvajna, he is all-knowing, he's all omniscient, like is the word we use. But for his pastimes, he doesn't appear to be omniscient, or he doesn't appear to be all-powerful. He has to actually be told that something has taken place. He has to make an effort to do something. He is satya sankalpa. So if he really wanted Satrajit dead, he would have just wished it and Satrajit would have died, in one way or another. But Krishna had to take the effort of coming back to Dwarka and equipping himself with his weapons and chasing after Satrajit and killing him. Some of these pastimes of Krishna, they may appear to be like dramatic or tragic, but essentially the essential mood is actually bliss. Krishna is actually enjoying doing these things. It is his lila. It is his it's kind of like his, you know, the drama he is. If you ever participated in a drama, it doesn't matter how tragic the drama is, it's a lot of fun actually. So it's kind of like that. Krishna's pastimes are, you know, he is said to be the Mahakarta, or the greatest actor. So actor can mean the doer, can also mean the performer, you know, the actor, the one who performs. How we should view these pastimes. And there is another pastime. When I was reading this, preparing for this class, and I was seeing this reference to Lila Shakti, and I started thinking of a pastime that of Krishna's marrying Naknajiti or Satya, and it just so happens to be the very next chapter after this chapter where that pastime is explained, and I find it so it's one of my favorite pastimes because it demonstrates this point of how Krishna takes this role of being like limited, although he is unlimited. So so after Krishna married Mitravinda, then he heard about this princess, Satya or Naknajiti, who was the daughter of King Naknajit, therefore her name, hence her name Naknajiti. And she was a very qualified princess, very beautiful and very desirable by the princely class, and thus a lot of princes wanted to accept her as their wife. But being a very qualified princess, it's the customary in such cases that the princesses are either they choose their own husband, or even more so, there's a certain kind of trial that the prince has to endure, or has to a certain test the prince has to pass in order to show that he is fit to be that princess's husband, just like Draupadi, the fish that Arjuna had to pierce the eye of the fish by looking at the reflection of water on the floor. He had to be able to figure out whether the little eye of the fish in the ceiling that was, I think it was like a rotating at the same time. So it was really hard. So Arjuna, he managed to do that. The only one who came close was Karna. I mean, he was insulted before he took the shot. So that may have impaired his ability a little bit, but he did reach the fish, but he didn't exactly pierce the eye. So Krishna, he hears about this princess and he becomes very eager to get her hand. And I just thought of it, if he was the Supreme Lord, he could have just boom appeared in the kingdom of the king. But he took the endeavor. He got his army together and he got on his chariot and he traveled the whole distance from Dwarka to the kingdom of Naknajit. And when he got there, the king was very happy to see Krishna. He was like devotee of Krishna, actually. So he received Krishna with very great respect and honor. And I found this very cute. So Krishna, he reciprocated by bowing down to the king, because that's what you do to a father-in-law. So Krishna wasn't yet his son-in-law, but he was kind of hopeful that he's my father-in-law. So he was already getting in the role of being his son-in-law. And then they have this discussion. So that about, you know, the princess. So what the situation was this, that the king had made a very difficult test. He had this, he had raised these seven bulls that were extremely powerful. I mean, they were not ordinary bulls, they were extremely powerful. And the, anyone who wanted to be the future husband of his daughter, he had to subdue those bulls by himself. And it is said that those bulls, they couldn't even tolerate the smell of a prince. I mean, you may think that a bull, you know, you have to, what do you call it? You know, make them angry or agitate them in some way to make them angry. But just the smell of a prince was enough to make them furious. You know, that was enough to make the bulls furious. So it wasn't a very, I mean, you may, you know, when you see an animal, you may go up there and like try to pat it and, you know, like, and quickly like wrestle it down or something. It wasn't something, anything like that. You know, that as soon as the prince got there, the bulls were already like furious, you know, ready to attack the prince. So none of the princes, you know, succeeded. Many of them broke their bones in the process. And so that was the setting. And, you know, the king offers prayers to Krishna, and then Krishna, he kind of responds that saying that Kshatriyas usually don't ask for anything in charity. You know, that's below their statutes. That's not against the dharma, but I'm making an exception here. I am actually asking for your daughter's hand. And also know that in my family tradition, we do not give any, we don't give anything in exchange for our princesses. So he was indicating that he didn't want to, he was trying to avoid the test that the king had put up. And the king, you know, he actually wanted Krishna to manifest his prowess, and he actually, you know, very respectfully said, you know, I have imposed this test on everybody, this is the test I have put up, and I want everyone to, you know, I'm not going to, you know, back down from that condition. So then Krishna, all right, he tightened his belt like he usually does when he has to do something heroic, and he very easily, he divided himself into seven Krishnas, and each Krishna, he grabbed each bull by its nose and then wrestled the bull down and brought it under control. And Prabhupada explains, you know, so this is the time when Krishna suddenly manifests his omnipotence, you know, his great power. So first he is acting as limited, but when it was required, you know, that for this particular task, Krishna actually needed to be more than just human. He needed to be, you know, extraordinarily powerful. So he manifested seven forms, and like a plaything, dealing with the bulls like a plaything, he subdued him. And but Prabhupada also explains that the reason he did that was that Satya, she was not the first queen of Krishna. She was not member of three or four or five. I don't know, I forgot to count. But so she may have been worried that, okay, you know, Krishna is accepting me as his wife, but will, you know, how much time will I have? How much time every day will I actually see him? How often will I see Krishna? He has so many other queens. Rukmini is the principal queen, and Satyabhama is his favorite, or whatever. She may be thinking of those things. So maybe I get to see him like once in a while, you know. But Krishna, being, you know, this is Krishna, that he is, he's bhaktavatsala. He's very affectionate to his devotees, and he is very sensitive to their smallest desire. So he, detecting this desire of hers, he could have probably, you know, what do you call it? He could have probably done it in one form, you know, could have like done one bull at a time. Yeah, Krishna is all powerful; he can do that. But he did it in this style: seven Krishnas, and so in this way, he gave assurance. He of course amazed his father-in-law and his everyone watching, but he also gave assurance to his future queen that he can, he has the ability to be with her alone, exclusively. So the king gave a very, was very happy, very pleased, and he, you know, the wedding was performed, And he gave this enormous dowry. I forgot that it was like, you know, if you see all the different dowry, list of dowries in the Bhagavatam, this is one of the, you know, top three at least. So he gave like, I think he gave like 1,000,000 manservants and 9,000 elephants and chariots and, you know, all that. And on the way home, when Krishna was taking the princess home, all the princes that were frustrated, that didn't succeed in getting the hand of the princess, they attacked the procession. And Krishna, he also could have, you know, just whisked his hand and some wind would have blown him into the, you know, somewhere beyond the horizon. But he actually didn't do anything, because Arjuna, as his friend, was accompanying him. So he took this on his service, as a service, and he drove them all away without killing even one of them. So this is, I mean, this is Krishna's pastime. Krishna, he acts in this way. He acts as limited in his knowledge or in his ability, just to enjoy the pastime. Otherwise, he cannot. It's not much fun being all powerful if you don't have to endeavor for anything. Everything just happens when you want it, and so Krishna, he similarly, for his own happiness and also for the pleasure of his devotees, he endeavors for things, and then another point that Prabhupada makes about in this connection is that Satyabhama, she was, not Satyabhama, Satya, their names begin with the same, you know, same two syllables, Satya. So Satya, she was also praying to Krishna that I am, you know, she was, have been doing, performing fasting and austerities for getting her chosen husband, and her chosen husband was Krishna, actually. So she was really hoping that Krishna would accept her. But if you consider things from the point of tattva, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he is all-powerful, he is the source of everything, and we are extremely insignificant, we are extremely small. We are Anu, and Krishna is Vibhu. So what is our position in pleasing him, or even in pleasing Krishna, even in doing anything that pleases him, because we are so small. So, but actually the knowledge of that position is actually what makes Krishna pleased, because Krishna becomes pleased just like a mother is attracted to the child's helplessness, its smallness. So Krishna, being the greatest, he's attracted to our smallness. But when we think we are not small, we think we are God, or we are great, or we are so like doing such pleasing service to Krishna, then Krishna may not be so pleased. But when we actually know we are in insignificance, and in this case, Naknajiti, maybe I should switch to the other name. Naknajiti, she was aware of her position, and she said that I can only please you by your mercy. So when Krishna is pleased or merciful, he chooses to be pleased when he, out of his own mercy. So we in the Kali Yuga, we are not very qualified. This is maybe an understatement, but we are very unqualified. So our endeavors are covered by a lot of faults, and so, you know, our whatever service we are doing is perhaps in Krishna's eyes, it's like a child, you know, attempting to do something, you know, very complicated, very, very difficult, and doing it very imperfectly. But like a child, because it's a child, you will, you know, still be pleased by its endeavor to do something. So our, you know, our mentality, our attitude in doing our service is this, that Krishna, I cannot please you by anything, but just please be, but I am trying. I am, you know, I am the most rotten, I'm the most fallen, but I am, like Prabhupada explained about how to worship the deity, that Krishna, I'm the most rotten, I'm the most fallen, but I've brought this thing for you. Please accept it. So by this, by cultivating this mentality of humility and as a servant of the spiritual master and his devotees, then Krishna may be pleased to us, pleased to reveal to us his pastimes. So his pastimes are in his holy name. And so if we chant the holy name with this, in this mood, then the holy name may reveal himself to us. He is Krishna, so the holy name is Krishna. So his form and his pastimes and his qualities are all in his holy name. But although they are there, they don't reveal themselves unless Krishna is pleased, unless they want to be revealed. So this is why this point of attitude is very, very important. It's, we should never think that we ever kind of God made it there. You know, okay, now I have the perfect attitude. But no, we always have to refine that attitude. Even if you have the right understanding or the right attitude, we have to keep refining it and keep refining it. Keep, you know, Krishna, spiritual life is not static. It's an ecstatic, or it's always in motion. It's always moving. It's always Krishna's pastimes are always expanding. So our even our purification, even our attitude, always has to be deepening and expanding to kind of catch up with Krishna's mercy. Is there any? Does anyone have a question or comments, discussions on this? Yes, Prabhu. Oh yeah, this was. I mean, in my reading of Krishna book, he wanted to preserve his body, because usually what happens is that when someone, you know, according to the Vedic culture, you should cremate the body by sunset. So if you die in the morning by sunset or something like that, the body should be cremated. So this appeared to be like a, you know, like a murder scene, you know, when someone is murdered, then they preserve the murder scene untouched so that someone can come and investigate. So it appeared like, so that's this one theory. One theory is that she had to go and get Krishna and couldn't do the cremation until she got back. Another thing was that she wanted to preserve the body so that, you know, the evidence wouldn't be destroyed that he was killed, you know. Yeah. That was... Yes, Prabhuji.
I was just reading this, and I think in Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, I think he also says another theory is that she may have thought that Krishna might bring him back to life.
Okay.
And, you know, although, of course, this was all part of the Leela, because actually none of them like Satyajit at all. But, you know, that was also mentioned.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Satyajit is a case, an interesting case. It's kind of like his, you know, his karma, because he didn't give a jewel to Krishna, so he got his punished being dead. And that's actually a good point. You know, nothing good comes from, you know, going against Krishna's desire. So, anyway, so it was meant to be that he should stay dead, you know. Hare Krishna.
With this whole thing, usually it's a Vedic way of preserving someone. Like when Maharaj Dashrath died, they put him in oil until they were trying to get, I think, Bharat coming back from the grandparents or whatever. So sometimes you do that to preserve the body. It keeps it almost perfect.
Okay.
You know? Like that. I have a question. So Krishna is, to perform the Leela, then he is, in one sense, he's bewildering to the demons and to the devotees. You know, they're both bewildered by his play, you know. I mean, how is this different? How the bewildering of the demon different from the bewildering of the devotee?
Good question. I'll see if I can answer. So the demons are, it's kind of different, because the demons, they don't accept Krishna as God. Even if they know he's God, they don't really, you're like Kamsa. I think he knew Vishnu was supreme, but he, not Kamsa, I mean, these great demons like Hiranyakashipu, you know, he's a great philosopher actually. So, but they accept Krishna. Okay, he's God, but he can kill him. So it's kind of this. They're like schizophrenic. You know, they think God is, you know, all powerful, but they think I can still kill him. You know, so demons generally, when they see Krishna acting human, they think he is human and he's just he's impotent. It makes them disrespect him even more. Like Krishna, he that one time he walked away from the battlefield from Jarasandha after defeating him 18 times and leaving him even without his chariot. So he had to like walk, probably had to like walk back home to his kingdom. At one time he didn't fight with him, just walked away. And Jarasandha said, you are useless. You are just a coward. You can't even, I won't fight with you because you're such a coward. You know, I mean, demons are, this is how they act when Krishna acts human. But the devotees, like Kunti was bewildered. He's saying that Yashoda used to tie you up as a child, you know, and these pastimes are bewildering to me because you are the Supreme Lord. So she's bewildered, but that also makes her fall in love with Krishna more. So I guess the effect of Krishna's human behavior is kind of the opposite. So the demons, they hate him more or despise him more, look down on him more, and the devotees love Krishna more. So it's kind of, that's why Krishna's pastimes are so pleasing, because to devotees. Because he acts very human, but he isn't human at the same time. He's acting, and the demons are, like in Bhagavad Gita, it says that they run here and there when they hear his glories, his holy name. They run here and there and they're disturbed. Why are you talking about Krishna? Like Shishupal, you know. Why are they glorifying him? You know. And he, you know. So that's, I guess that's the effect, the difference. Any other? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. So, just coming back to Satyajit's body being preserved, Sridhar Swami explained that because Satyajit had no son, then the body was preserved so that Krishna can come back, being the son-in-law, to perform the Shraddha ceremony. So that was explained in that.
That's what I guessed. Also, I was thinking the same. Thank you. Yes, he only had a daughter, Satyajit Bhama, so... Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Prabhuji.
So this question has been in my mind for a long time.
Okay.
And I've asked it before.
You asked it before? Uh-oh.
Not you, but somebody else.
Okay.
So I just want to see your answer. So, if Krishna needs to forget that he's God to be able to enjoy, then... the fact that he's God and he knows that he has to forget, otherwise he can't enjoy, that's what I seem to gather from your lecture. Then how is that satisfying? If my enjoyment is only when I'm on a stage, which is all false anyway, I can only enjoy if I'm an actor, not with a real me, then how is that satisfying?
How is that satisfying?
The corollary to this is that I find that when Krishna enjoys with himself, like when he enjoys with Srimati Radharani, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoys with Advaita Acharya in the pastimes. That seems like equals are enjoying, so they don't have to forget who they are. Advaita Acharya doesn't forget, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't forget, and it's very relishable. Because they each know who they are and they are acting. So there is the knowledge that they are God, both gods. But this is something I don't understand. Maybe.
Yeah, it's of course we are... it's not unnatural that we don't understand Krishna's inner experiences. He's God and we are like here, down here. So that's one thing is that I have an answer that I want to say, but just before I say that, it's just from my limited position, I will give that answer. But as what I understand is that Krishna, one time, Bhakti Vijayapurna Swami, I was talking about how there was this girl from a very cultural background, and she was in a temple there's so many other, you know, women, Western women who are very they had this a different mood, not that so submissive kind of mood. So, and with this woman, she managed to get all the men to do everything for her, not because they were attracted to her, just because she would always approach them. Oh, Prabhuji, can you, you know, for herself, she would never go anywhere by herself. She would never walk from a temple to the across the street without someone taking her there. So he's asking Prabhuji, can you take me there? Like that. And the women were saying, we are all trying to, you know, catch somebody or like attract a man, and we are trying to have the men do something for us, but they don't do anything. You know, they, nothing is working. But you are like, you know, you are you know, but they do everything for you. What you know? So I was telling this to Bhaktivedanta Punamaraj, and he said to me, yeah, why does Krishna, you know, behave one way with Radharani and one way with Subal, you know? So his point was that because Radharani approaches Krishna, she approaches Krishna with her, you know, as his lover, and Subal approaches Krishna as his friend. So Krishna is just like bound to reciprocate, you know, he's just bound to reciprocate according to their mood. So my explanation is I think it's a little more natural than just him like, you know, planning, okay, this, you know, Leela Shakti come and bewilder me so I can enjoy. It's more like when he is in front of these devotees their devotion is so great that we can't even begin to understand, and we can never be on their platform. We can only be the servant of the servant. That's our position. We are eternally the servant of the servant, the assistants of the assistants of those devotees. That's our eternal position. Because we have never come to their level. They're basically on the same level of Krishna. The Prabhupada, you know, explains like that. But we can, of course, we are not left out. By serving their ecstasy, we actually experience even a higher ecstasy by being, you know, by serving their ecstasy, their service. But so what happens with Krishna is that when he is approached by these devotees, he just becomes overwhelmed by their love and his reciprocal love. Just like I was talking about the child, you know, a small child, you know, if you're a parent with a small child, it sometimes it just overwhelms you by its cuteness or by being, you know, by its own behavior. You reciprocate with the child naturally. Just the emotion is drawn out of you. So that's basically the way I like to see it is Krishna's. Those emotions are drawn out of him, and that's how he is. He just forgets everything because of their love of those devotees. So I think that's, you know, I think that's it, like it's a natural thing. It's not like it's like too. It's not some like some project management thing, you know, that, you know, it's like Hare Krishna. I hope this helped you in some way. Yes, Prabhuji.
I like that answer very much. I was going to offer a different way of looking at it, but I think I liked yours better. How Krishna just reciprocates with the love of his devotees, and so naturally he's playing whatever that part is just out of that affection. I think that's a really nice way of looking at it. I was going to say another thing. This is a way that I actually heard Vidyananda Maharaj explain this once. He said, it's kind of like if you're in a movie theater, you know, and you're watching, watching a play, and you're totally absorbed in it, and you're just completely involved in that. And if the person next to you, you know, nudges you and says, well, you know, this is just a movie. Well, yeah. I say, you know, these are just actors. Well, yeah. And you know who you are. Well, of course I do. And finally you say, will you be quiet? You're ruining the movie. You know, it's, in other words, yes, Krishna knows who he is, that, you know, and he's aware of everything. But at the same time, you know, it's like that enjoyment is in the absorption, you know, of the play or the movie or whatever it is. But I liked also that idea of how it's reciprocation with the love of his devotees that brings it out.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. You have a question? No. Any other? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna Bhagavan ki jai.